Open your Bibles, please, to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8 in your Schofield Bible, page 1201. Page 1201. We'll begin with the 9th verse, and we'll read responsively through verse 16. Take note, especially, please, of the 9th verse and the 16th verse, the beginning and the ending verses of our responsive reading this morning. So shall we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And let's pray. Father, we need your blessing, and I suppose in a very special way today we pray for your help, that we might, through thy Spirit's power, be led to concentrate upon the message that our pastor has labored to prepare. We pray that his labor will not be in vain, and we pray, too, that the working of thy Spirit in our midst will certainly not be in vain. Help us to be obedient hearers and doers of thy word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let me read for you without you turning to it. Just two of the verses read a while ago. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And I want to read this verse. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. May I have your mind this morning? There are many things that could divert your attention and mine. But I'd like to have your mind this morning totally absorbed in what I'm going to say. I'm going to preach this morning on the subject, life in the Spirit is necessary for life in the Spirit. That may sound a little redundant, but you'll get the idea in a few minutes. Life in the Spirit is necessary for life in the Spirit. Now, I guarantee you, you'll learn something you never heard in your life before, unless you heard me preach or teach it somewhere in years gone by, and I haven't taught this here in years, and maybe I never have gone this much in detail. But I'm going to give you this morning one of the most important truths about life in the Spirit. You hear an awful lot about life in the Spirit, the deeper life, and so forth. You ever wonder why you promise God you're going to read the Bible and you don't? You ever wonder why you set aside some time to pray and promise God you're going to pray and you don't? You ever wonder why that? Some of you ever wonder why you don't like preaching like other folks do? You ever come to church and watch some people and boy, they can't wait for the sermon, and all during the sermon they're excited and boy, they learn something and boy, say that's great and you're hoping you can get out and go home to eat or you're having a hard time staying awake. I'm going to tell you why you sleep in church this morning. I'm going to talk to you this morning one of the most important truths about life in the Spirit. And the title is, Life in the Spirit is Necessary for Life in the Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, bless our discussion in this thy word today in a special way. Amen. Now, look this way very carefully. I'm going to give you a little illustration, sort of a corny one, and then don't forget it. I'll come back to it later. I have a regular habit, get up same time every morning, and I come to office about the same time every morning. I always stop at the same place every morning, and on the way and get a USA Today paper, and I pretty well live by schedule. One morning I pulled up in front of the White Hen Pantry about 7:05, and I'd gone in, gotten my paper and something else I was that morning, and got back in the car. Car wouldn't start. Sitting right there with the White Hen Pantry, wouldn't start. I tried everything in the world. I tried, and it just wouldn't grunt. I mean, nothing. Wouldn't do that. Just nothing. Turned on the starter, wouldn't start. Are you listening? And it wouldn't start. So I tried, and I tried, and I tried. Did everything I could. I even opened the hood. And I don't know what good that does, but opened the hood, looked at it. And always do that. You do too. You open the hood, look at it, and close it as if that cured the thing. And I opened the hood. So I went to White Hen Pantry, and I called the mechanic and where I do business, and I said, my car won't start, and I'm stuck, and it's here at White Hen Pantry. He said, look, I haven't got time. I said, you're going to have time. I've got to have you. And I'm a good customer. Been doing business with you for years. I've got to have you. So the mechanic came. He started just like that. I said, what did you do? He said, I put it in park. And I blushed, apologized, recanted, repented, and drove the car on. All I did, the car was in drive instead of in park. Don't forget the illustration. I'll come back to it after a while. There are two words, without looking at them, or just won't tell you about them. There are two words in Romans 8:9, which are translated as spirit. Same thing's true in Romans 8:16. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now listen carefully. The first word, spirit, in both of those verses, deals with the spirit of man. Deal with the I who lives in this body. It deals with me. I mean, I am flesh and I am spirit. Are you listening? Now, the first word for spirit in verse 9 of Romans 8 and the first word for spirit in verse 16 of Romans 8 deal with my spirit as contrasted to my body. You see my body before you, an amazing one it is. And you see it before you. That's a part of me. But there's somebody who lives in this body, and that's my spirit. Now, that's what it's talking about in the first, let's put it this way. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. That's me. And back in Romans 8, 9, the first word for spirit is my spirit, and the last word is God's spirit. Now, the first is the real you who lives in your body. Now, listen carefully. There are two decisions that you have to make if you walk in the spirit. Now, the first decision you have to make is to walk in the spirit. And once you walk in the spirit, the second decision you have to make is whether or not to walk in the spirit. But there are two spirits here. Now, if you're going to walk in the Spirit of God, you've got to first make a decision to walk in your own spirit. Here today, you have a decision to make. You live in the Spirit or live in the body. Now, I'm not talking now about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about live in your spirit. If you do not live in your spirit, or the spirit's part of your life, the spirit part, not the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about God now. I'm talking about everybody has the body and the person that lives in the body. Now, if you do not decide to live in the spirit side of your life, then the Holy Spirit has no way to make contact with you. For it is through your spirit that He makes contact. The Holy Spirit has no contact with the flesh whatsoever. And so until you transfer your life from living for your body to living for your spirit, then you're not in park. You're in drive, not in park. The Holy Spirit cannot make contact with you, and you cannot live in the Spirit because you're not living in the Spirit side of you. Here are two people this morning sitting side by side in this room. They live in the same city. They live on the same street, maybe. They maybe even live in the same house. And they have the same surroundings. But one person lives like this. What can I eat? What can I drink? What can I wear? What fun can I have? How can I make money? What do I want? What can I buy? What is the next pleasure for me to enjoy? Where are the glaring lights? Where is the painted litter? They live, one person, two men, one person here, one here. This person lives for food, for clothing, for money, for fun, for parties, for pleasure. Now, next to him, there's another fella. Now, how about him? He has a body, and he also has the person who lives in the body. Now, the second person reads. He thinks. He meditates. He loves. He feels. His emphasis is not on the house, but the person who lives in the house. He's not interested in developing the body as much as developing the person who lives in the body. He studies. He philosophizes. He talks about ideas and not people. He feeds his mind and soul. He eats and realizes that many are hungry and thanks God for the food he has to eat. He can think of his good fortune. He may even prefer to eat alone. So eating can be a spiritual thing with him, where he can fellowship with his God as he thanks his God even for that which feeds his body. He loves to look at the stars at night. He loves to say, "Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky." He loves to look and say, "Starlight, star bright, first star I've seen tonight, I wish I might have this wish, I wish that." Now what is he doing? He is living in the Spirit. Not in the Holy Spirit, but in the Spirit side of human life. And until you transfer from living in the flesh to living in your spirit, from you transfer from the visible to the invisible, then you have no way for the Holy Spirit to get to you, and the Holy Spirit will not meet you except as He meets you in your spirit. This person examines the petals of the rose. He loves to walk or drive alone in the woods. He listens to the symphony of birds. He is not afraid to be alone. He marvels at the ocean. He is not frightened by a book of poetry. He meditates on the lake while others water ski on the lake. He lives in the Spirit. Now you look at me. Listen to me. The reason many of you want to read your Bible and want to enjoy it and don't is because you have been living in the flesh and not in your spirit. Until you walk in your spirit, you cannot walk in God's spirit. Until you live on the spirit side of you, you'll not be able for the Holy Spirit to make contact with you, and you'll not walk in His spirit till you transfer your taste and life to your spirit. Listen to me. You're not going to party all the time, and Holy Spirit can't get to you. You're not going to play all the time. Holy Spirit can't get to you. You can't sit and talk about people all the time. Holy Spirit can't get to you. He will not be able to get to you until you transfer your life
from life to satisfy the flesh. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about drinking. I'm not talking about adultery. I'm not talking about homosexuality. I'm not talking about cursing. I'm not talking about smoking. I'm talking about eating. I'm talking about sleeping. I'm talking about clothes. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about living for the fleshly side of life. Now, let's look at the second word, Spirit. That second word, Spirit, is the Holy Spirit. And God is saying to you, I'd like for you to walk in my Spirit. But you're not qualified to walk in my Spirit until you walk in your Spirit. You know what I long for this church to become? I long for this church to become the kind of people that live on the Spirit side of life instead of on the physical side of life. I long for this church to become the kind of people who can read books. Every once in a while somebody says to me, I just don't like poetry. Well, the flesh never does like poetry. Flesh never does like to read. Flesh never does like to be alone. The flesh says, get together and let's pump some flesh and rub some flesh and talk about flesh. But what the Church of Jesus Christ needs in 1985 is a generation of believers who can walk alone some and think on the spiritual part of life. There was a day when Grandpa plowed behind a mule all day long. And he had time to think. We haven't got time to think. We're too busy going from one party to the next. And one gab session to the next. And one playtime to the next. And one fun time to the next. And one meal time to the next. And one clothes time to the next. And one gossip time to the next. But I want to tell you something. You, I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you do church work you do, how many offices you hold in the church, you are not going to walk in the Spirit of God until you learn to walk in your own Spirit, because God's Holy Spirit cannot. It doesn't say His Spirit beareth witness with our flesh that we're the sons of God. And that's why a lot of you are doubting your salvation. Because the Spirit of God is the one that gives you assurance. But the Spirit of God can't get to that part of you which receives the assurance. He has to talk to your flesh because you live in the flesh. Are you listening to me? You need to. You folks not looking ought to pay attention and look up here. I'm simply saying this. It is time that the people of Jesus Christ realize there's a side of life besides buying and selling and eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage and dressing and drinking and fellowshipping and partying and fun and pleasure. There is a side of life that is the ethereal. There's a side of life that is the invisible. There's love and there's loyalty and there's patriotism and there's meditation and there are books to read and there. I'm saying, I'm not talking about being spiritual now in the sense of being capital S spiritual. I'm talking about being spiritual in the sense of you living on the spiritual side of your life. The Holy Spirit cannot make contact with the flesh. He cannot get to you. So the first decision you must make is to live in the Spirit a little less. Just in case there's anybody here this morning interested in living in the Spirit, big S. Just in case anybody here this morning interested in living in the Holy Spirit, you will not get to Him until you get to the Spirit side of your life. Of you. You spend as much time primping on your disposition as you do your puss, you know what I'm talking about. And God knows that many of you should have spent more time this morning on your puss. Until the inner you and what it's like becomes infinitely more important than the outer you and what it's like, you're not even qualified to walk in the Spirit. The Spirit can't get to you. He will not contact your flesh. He cannot contact your flesh. You've got to walk in the invisible things of life before the whole. And that's why some people that love music and some people that love art and some people that love poetry can be arrested with the Holy Spirit easier, because it is that part of you that the Holy Spirit can make contact with, the unseen. We say, I'm just not one of those likes to read. I know that fleshly people never like to read. But my Bible says give attendance to reading. I said my Bible says give attendance to reading. I says my Bible says give attendance to reading. And the reason you don't like to read is because you're not interested in feeding the invisible you, the real you. This is not Jack Hiles. This is the house he lives in. And if I get more concerned about who lives in the house than the house itself, God cannot make contact with me. Well, this is good. So the first decision you must make is to live in the Spirit. Then you're qualified to live in the Spirit. So you have your body and your spirit. Now you have a choice to make. Shall I live to eat, drink, play, have fun, talk about people? Shall I live in this sphere, or shall I live in this sphere? Where I think, I meditate, I love, I have loyalty, I philosophize, I read, I sing, or live in this side. Now, when God comes and knocks on your door and says, I'd like my Holy Spirit to make contact with you, He knocks on this door and not this door. And when God knocks on this door, you can't hear Him from over here. So you got to move over here before you can hear the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God will not fellowship with your body. This is why you promise to read the Bible and don't. This is why you plan to pray and don't. This is why you don't enjoy church. This is why some of you do enjoy. You know who's enjoying the sermon? The thinkers. The thinkers. There's some old folks say this one, I just don't understand what he's saying. I know, because you're so blubbery with pizza, and I don't mean that you say that now, because this afternoon, but you're so full of pizza and partying and pleasure and frolicking and food and fun and frivolity, you haven't thought all week. You fed this, but not this. The scene is what you live for. That's one reason why I long for young people to get to the place where they don't say, I'd like to go with her, she's so cute. That's the dumbest, stupidest thing I've heard of in my life. Well, I'd like to go with him. He is really handsome. Well, I won't tell you by the time he's 35, he'll have the same size waist we all have. Why doesn't somebody say, I love his soul. I love his spirit. I like that personality. I like the thought life. Listen, there are folks this morning who in this room are saying, I never thought about that before. Wow, what a truth. Who are those people? Those who live for the unseen things over the seen things this week. That's why you sleep in church. Now, these folks who sleep in church don't fall asleep while they're eating. You check these students who are asleep right now at 2 o'clock this afternoon and see if they fall asleep while they're chewing pizza. See, the reason you go to sleep, I don't care whether you like it or not, the reason you go to sleep in church is because you have dwelt on the physical and the visible part of life, and you have not tuned your own spirit so that you like to think, and you like to rationalize, and you like the invisible, and you've not lived according to your spirit. You come to church, and there's no spirit in you to make contact with the Holy Spirit, and you go to sleep while a preacher's preaching. You don't go to sleep at the party. You don't go to sleep playing golf. You don't go to sleep running to first base. Did you ever hear a fella hit the ball out in the outfield between shortstop and third base? Takes off of first base and somebody said, look at that guy, he's going to sleep. Now see, your problem is not you didn't sleep last night. Your problem is boredom. And the reason you're bored is because the sphere in which you've been living all week is not being contacted right now. I'm not feeding you. I'm not entertaining you. I'm not giving you something to drink. I could wake every lady here up by saying, here's a gift certificate for $100 for a new dress. I'd get every lady's attention in this room. Why? That's where you've been living. You're living on the visible side of your life. You ever see a lady shopping for a new dress? Well, I hope I never see another one.
for a man to have to hang around somewhere while a woman's finely dressed. I'll be honest with you. I had rather go through the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Now, wait a minute. Did you ever see a gal buy a new dress? And she's looking at it in the mirror? And all of a sudden she goes to sleep. No. I don't care if she didn't get a wink sleep the night before, she's awake. Why? Because that for which she lives has been brought to her attention, and she has lived in the flesh. She has lived to eat, to sleep, to have fun, to laugh, to make money. Listen, I don't care who you are, unless you learn to walk alone a lot, you'll never make contact with the Holy Spirit of God, because you cannot live in the Spirit until you live in the Spirit. Like trying to get an AM station on FM radio. Like trying to get Channel 5 on radio. It's like trying to start the car with it and drive. And the drive is your spirit. I'm not saying you ought to become a recluse. I'm not saying that you ought to become a hermit. But I am saying there's far too much playing going on. There's far too much frolicking going on. There's far too much partying going on. There's far too much physical pleasure going on. There's far too much laughter going on. There's far too much so-called fellowship going on. And we are going to have to learn sometime that there's a book instead of a television set. That's why you don't understand spiritual matters. Because you have never entered into the spirit sphere of your own makeup. And if you transfer from the fleshly sphere of your makeup to the spiritual sphere of your makeup, the person that lives in the house gets more attention than the house itself. You are not qualified for God's Holy Spirit to make contact with you, and God will not have any access to you whatsoever. You're tuned in on FM, and God is dialing on AM. You're tuned in on radio and God's dialed on television. You're tuned in on drive when God will only ignition, only God's ignition only start on park. And until you say, I am going to live in the Spirit, the unseen side, the real you, the real person, not the body but the person that lives there. And when you decide, you know, I like this man right here. This man right here, I like when he says amen. And every once in a while I'll say something in my sermon, and it's something that he's never heard before. And he'll say, hmm. You know what that says to me? He's tuned in. He's tuned in. I mean, he's on the right side. It tells me he's been doing some thinking this week. It tells me he knows how to think. I just don't like poetry. Well, learn to like it. Especially mine. Learn to like it. Now, listen carefully. Listen carefully. So live that when thy summons comes, to join the innumerable caravan that sweeps to the endless portals of death, go thou not as the quarry slave at night, scourged to his dungeon, but sustained and soothed with an unfaltering trust, approach thy grave as one who wraps the drapier's couch about him and lies down to pleasant dreams. That's Theranostics. That's that poem you hate so much. Beautiful. They just don't dig that kind of stuff. I know flesh never does dig the invisible. You dig a funny joke. You dig a ball game. You dig a hamburger. You dig a gossip session. You dig criticizing people. You dig laughter. You dig frolicking. You dig pleasure. But you don't dig the unseen, because you live for the house and not the person who lives in the house. And until you decide you're going to transfer from the flesh to walk in your spirit, you will not ever walk in His spirit, because He only makes contact with your spirit.
You don't ignore your mind and live for food and fun and frolic and frivolity and expect to love the Bible, delight in prayer, and love preaching. Your antenna's not up. You cannot live in the Spirit unless you live in the Spirit. You must live in the Spirit before you live in the Spirit. Now, if you do nothing, the flesh will conquer. A good book cannot compete with a ball game. Meditation cannot compete with a party. So if you do nothing, the flesh will conquer. There's no way in the world that reading a good book this afternoon can compete with a Super Bowl game. So if you choose, hold it now, if you live in the real you and for the real you, I'm talking about your personality. I'm talking about your character. I'm talking about your principles. I'm talking about your philosophy. I'm talking about your logic. If you live for the real you, you will do it on purpose. Because the flesh of you will win every time. The spirit, your spirit, can never compete with your flesh. That means you must schedule attention to the real you. You have to plan to think and schedule to think and do it on purpose. I do. I plan some time every day and every week when I just think. It's my thinking time. Now, I'll be quite frank with you. There are other things I'd rather do than think. I would rather eat pizza than think. I would rather eat a McDonald's cheese quarter pounder than think. So if I choose to live for my spirit, listen to me, I've got to plan to do it and do it on purpose. You have to plan to praise. I do. You know what you think? You think sometimes all of a sudden God's spirit comes down and he sticks me the hypodermic needle. Woo! And all of a sudden I say, well, glory to God. I don't do that. I have it scheduled in my time. It's written, praise, praise. And I just stop and think how good God's been to me. I do it by schedule. And I just list a bunch of things that God's done for me, and before I know it, I'm praising God. And I do it by schedule. You have to plan to worship. I do. You have to plan to confess your sins. One day I was in Atlanta, Georgia, preaching for Dr. Curtis Hudson. He's pastor there in Decatur, Forest Hills Baptist Church. Dr. John Rice and I were there together. Our ride came, and driver's going to come. So I went to Dr. Rice's room, knocked on his door, but the door was open. I walked in. He wasn't in his room. I said, "Where are you, Dr. Rice? You in there?" He said, "Yes, I'm in the bathroom." "What you doing?" I said, "I'm tearing up some paper." I walked in, and Dr. Rice had a piece of paper about like this, and he was tearing it up, and he tore it up like that. And he put it in the commode and flushed it. I said, "Dr. Rice, what is that paper?" He said, "List of my sins." I said, "Why do you want to flush it down the commode?" He said, "You think I want anybody to see a list of my sins?" I said, "Tell me, what do you..." He said, "Dr. Tiles, I set a time every day when I confess my sins." And so he said, "Just like I prepare a sermon, I prepare my list of sins. Because I might forget some. So I sit down and think of the list of sins and write my sins on that paper. And then one by one, I confess them and ask God to forgive me. And then when God's forgiven me, I flush them down and come home." I said, "Why do you do that?" Well, he said, "If God has forgotten them, I want to forget them too." Now, I'm saying that if you, listen, you don't just sometimes say, "Oh, I better confess my sin." No, you don't. You'd rather go have a ball. Oh, I wish I could grab you and shake you this morning. I wish I could teach everybody here what I'm talking about. You want to live in the Spirit, but God comes and Spirit comes and knocks on your door, and you're so busy trying to thinking about this, the visible side of you, He can't get you to the door because you can't hear Him knock. He's knocking on the door where the invisible side's located. He can't get to you because you're working on the house instead of you. You plan to meditate. I do. Now, this sermon will do you no good unless you do this. The flesh is waiting just outside the door to capture you when you leave. Not Now, once you decide to live in the Spirit, your Spirit, you have a second decision, and that is, would you allow your Spirit to walk in His Spirit? If you live in the Spirit of you, then you're qualified to make another decision, and that's to live in His Spirit and walk in His Spirit. Now, doesn't mean just because you live in the Spirit, and some of you poetry readers sure have been liking this sermon so far, but you spend your time reading worldly poetry instead of spiritual poetry. Now, you live in the spiritual side of you, but you've not made the second decision, and that is once that you transfer your life from over here to over here, then you've got to yield this part of you, this invisible part of you, to His Holy Spirit, who comes and makes contact. That's why seven times a day I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, 6 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, noon, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 6 o'clock at night, 9 o'clock at night when I go to bed. I yield to the Holy Spirit seven times a day. What am I doing? I'm yielding my Spirit to His Spirit. So His Spirit can control my Spirit. Now listen, when His Spirit can control my Spirit and my Spirit controls my flesh, I'm walking in the Spirit then. What a way to live. Now listen carefully, I'll quit. Listen carefully. His Spirit says to my body, let me show you something. And my body says, big deal. I never could understand the Bible anyway. Now listen to me. The reason you can't understand the Bible is you don't live with your understander working. That's why somebody's got to give you a picture book of the Bible. Or Good News for Modern Man. Or the Living Bible. Or put it in your little words you can understand. There's not a word in this book you couldn't understand if you'd live over here on this side instead of over here on this side. Not a word. I don't understand the Bible. I know you won't. And you won't understand the Bible till the real you is more important than the house you live in. You won't understand the Bible. No way you will. But wait a minute. Here, this morning. There are two types of people in this room. This thought that I've given this morning. Some of you are saying right now, wow. Sure. Of course. And some of you are saying, I understand that. You know why I don't understand it? You're looking around, taking a nap. You know why? Because your house controls your you. And until you get more concerned about the person that lives in that house than the house itself, you are never material for the Holy Spirit to walk with you and you to walk in Him. So I said this morning to some people, you must walk in your Spirit, in the Spirit, if you walk in the Spirit. And you say, sure, I see that. And those people are those who've been thinking this week. Those people are those whose most important part of life is their spirit side, the real you. Then there are those that at 6 minutes after 12, you wonder why we're still going. I'll tell you why we're still going, so I can get you a little bit through your thick skull to get you something to think about before you leave. One time you listen to something funny is said. You know why? Because something funny appeals to your senses. And your senses are part of the flesh. I'd like to stand up this morning and just give a testimony. I'd like to give a testimony and say, I have more fun in my spirit side than you have in your flesh side. I'd just like to stand up this morning and testify and say that nobody had any more fun last night having a big time. So I'm not talking about sinful time now. I'm not talking about discos and rock and roll and rock music and drinking. And I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm talking about eating and playing too much and emphasizing and magnifying at excess the fleshly side of life. I'd like to serve notice on you that, brother, when you live on this side and some thought grips your mind and some great truth grips your mind and you learn something you haven't done before, I guarantee you it's a bigger thrill than taking an excess of cheese quarter pounders or pizza. I'd like to just test it. But don't you have any fun? That's all I have is fun. Years since I thought about this. My aunt one time, pardon my aunt, for you that live in the flesh. My aunt one time was talking to my mother when I was a teenage boy. Older teenager. And my mother said, Jack doesn't drink, does he? Costo. And my mother says, no, he doesn't. She said, Jack doesn't smoke. Costo. Does he? She said, no, he doesn't. She said, Jack doesn't dance. Costo. Does he? She said, no, he doesn't. My aunt started crying. And she said, poor Jack. Poor brother, the food I feed my soul with has no calories. And brother, when you learn to walk in the real you and to feed the real you, you'll develop an appetite that when it is satisfied will taste better than any banana pudding that your teeth ever chewed up. If you ever intend to walk in the Spirit, you've got to learn to walk in the Spirit. Our Heavenly Father.